meet and greet each other. Praise God. A man is sleeping peacefully in his comfortable bed, and his mother suddenly yells at him, "Get up, you'll be late for church." He groans, "I don't want to go to church." "Why not?" his mother said. "I don't like any of them people there. There's just goody-goodies. It's boring." "But you have to go to church," his mother says. "Give me one good reason I should go to church." "Because you're the dang pastor, Phil." Another one. 80-year-old woman was recently married to her fourth husband. A reporter questioned the occupation of her newly acquired husband. She replied that he owned a funeral home. Okay. Curious about the other husbands, the reporter also asked about their occupations. And the woman paused for a while and stated that her first husband was a banker. Her second one, she was madly in love with, and he was a circus master. Her third one was a minister. Now, puzzled by her answers, he replied, "None of these people have anything in common. Why did you marry these?" She stated that she married number one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. If you would turn with me to two openings, we'll get started today. Have your hand in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, and John 16, 29 and 33. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42, and John 16, 29 and 33. If you haven't, say amen. You should take you a little longer to turn the page, as I would gather. So you just put a little finger in 16:29 and a little finger in 10:32. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 10:38. Got a little ring up here. Okay. I still see people flipping pages. So I'll wait a little bit. Okay. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her place. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Then in John 16, 29-33, flip over to that. 29, "His disciples said to him, 'See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God.' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour has come, yes, it has now come, that you be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.'" Father, I thank you, Lord, for your unction from the Holy Ghost. Father, that I only preach what you have me to say. Father, that you truly is the Holy Spirit that will convict the hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that will cheer the hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that will make a difference in someone's life today. Father, I'm only a vessel, and I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to Touch your people as they receive your word. In Jesus' name. How is your world? How is your world? Have you ever been asked that question? Now, if you're here, this is a common question that our pastor asks us. It is a question that causes me to think. It is not like the passing question we ask at work, like, how are you doing? And we're almost conditioned to respond the same way, I'm fine, and you? I believe my pastor asked this question this way because he really wants me to think and share with him. I believe he wants to know how to pray and how to minister to me. How is your world? You see, when you are triggered to think about your world, there is an immediate focus. Usually, what comes up is the biggest challenge you may be facing at the moment. We begin to think about our conflicts, our problems, or challenges, or our people conflicts, or our people problems, or our challenging people. We begin to focus on our, for lack of a better term, our stuff. I have learned and found very few people are exempt. We all have stuff. Jesus said to Martha in verse 41 of Luke 10, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Martha had stuff. And if you think you are exempt, just like Jesus said in verse 33 of John 16, a sobering message to his disciples then, it also should be a sobering message to us as his disciples now. If you haven't experienced it yet, in the world you will have tribulation. That's why I had to have you laugh at the beginning. Because we all have stuff. When I talk about stuff, I mean I'm defining stuff as matters, concerns, cares, which occupy us. Our stuff has a tendency to occupy us. And I use the word occupy because our stuff takes up residence and makes its home in our life. We have internal stuff. Our thoughts and ideas are flowing around in our head. How we feel or think about ourselves. How we think or feel others think about us. External stuff. We have outside pressures, commitments, responsibilities. This stuff makes demands. Demands we may be failing to navigate or control, promptings and temptations which we are trying to regulate. We're trying our best to stay true to our world, our word, and just live right. We all have stuff. Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things. But note, the scripture does not list any of the many things that she's troubled about. This is just like us. We have stuff that no one knows about. Our stuff that is swirling around in our head usually remains private. Yet this stuff occupies us and sometimes dictates what we do and what we won't do. Now, because stuff is usually private, the only way I can illustrate this message is to share some of my stuff. You know, included in my stuff was the fact that I grew up in a single family home. Now, although I am grateful to my mother's hard work for caring for me and my three siblings, I felt the deficit. Not having a father at home, I had no father who I could emulate or look up to or teach me things as a man. I had no uncles because my mother only had a sister and she never married. I wish I could say my mother assumed both roles. But that wouldn't be true. The void was real. It's a part of my stuff. You know, my grandmother's brother, who I was named after, although I had his name, I can't remember even having a conversation with him that has had any kind of effect on my life. Well, he came around visiting his sister, my grandmother, while she was alive. Now, he was an upstate farmer who brought us homemade sausage while she lived with us, but I spent very little time with him. I crave this relationship with a dad. This is why, as a young boy, I prayed. I said, Lord, that one day I could be a good father to some young boy. This is a part of my stuff. And I can see today what effect this lost relationship has had in my life. Stuff. I'm defining stuff as matters, concerns, cares, which occupy us. Our stuff has a tendency to occupy us. I use the word occupy because our stuff takes a residency and makes its home in our life. I don't know what your stuff looks like, but I know our stuff has become the building blocks of who we are today. Our stuff has shaped us. I'm not quite sure we can get rid of it, or do we become more successful at storing and managing it? However, like Martha, our stuff shows up. And let us know it's still there. Let's go back and look closer at Luke 10:38. Mary and Martha says, now as they went, that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Now note in verse 38, the word certain is used twice in this passage. The word certain means known for sure. It suggests that Jesus' visit was not random. He went to a specifically known village to visit a specifically known family. The family of Mary and Martha was familiar to him, and Jesus seemed to be familiar to them. And they also had a brother named Lazarus, who we read about in John 11, who Jesus raised from the dead. So Jesus went to the village of Bethany in a small village in Judea in the south of Mount Olives near Jerusalem. He went to be with this family he was very close to, a family he loved to be with. Verse 39 says, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet and heard Jesus' word. Now, this Mary, if you're not familiar with us, we get a clue about who she is because she's mentioned in John 12. It was 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, and was raised from the dead, and there was a dinner. And Jesus honored, Martha served, and Lazarus was among them reclining on the table. And Mary took a pint of pure nard, and we're talking about spiking nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who betrayed Jesus, as you remember, he said, why did you take this fragrant oil and not sell it for 100 denarii and give it to the poor? Now, how costly was this gift that Mary put upon Jesus? Well, 1 denarii was like a day's work. So if you're talking about 300 denarii, she took, which is the equivalent of 1 year's salary, and used it to wipe Jesus' feet. It was very costly. So that was the Mary we're talking about here. And in verse 40, he comes back and says, Martha was distracted with much serving. You see, Martha had stuff. And if we look at Martha, I got something from a website called Women of Noble Character. Martha's name is translated as Mistress of Myrrh. It comes to the verb and it says it's bitter or strong. The name Martha means lady boss, mistress, landlady. So she was the one who really was in charge. Maybe you're out there and that's your position, your household. You're the one always in charge. If no one else has stuff, you know you have stuff. Okay? And some early writer said that this Martha was either the daughter, wife, or widow of Simon the leper, and upon his death she inherited a house. And Jesus would come to that house. He was familiar with them. They were a good family. And others think that Martha may have been a near relative of Simon, and she just acted like a hostess most of the time. But the narrative seems to suggest the home belonged to Martha, being the older, and Mary, the younger, Lazarus. And she carried the responsibility of all connected with the household and affairs of the home. Now, even though Martha had these demands on her life, the scripture tells us she welcomed Jesus in verse 38 into her house. You see, that was not just a small order. Jesus never traveled alone. You imagine you invite somebody over to your house, 15 other people come with them. Well, that's the way it was with Jesus. So she was there to take care of all of this situation and be able to feed those people because they were traveling. Remember, Jesus did not settle and have a home where he can go to and rest. He went where anybody would open their doors and take care of him. So Martha did this. There are some of us that can navigate our stuff and still function and still perform. And most of the time, we think they have it all together. And this is because we don't see them crash under pressure. We don't see them taking care of business around them. But they have all this stuff that we don't see. We look at preachers and pastors, and we don't realize that they're just like us. They have stuff. We all have stuff. Martha was serving, but she was functional. This is not wrong. Martha was sober and she was observant. She recognized she needed some help and she saw that she was serving alone. But sometimes this can get to us. This is when our stuff piles up and we just snap. We just have to tell someone how we think. So Martha turns to Jesus in verse 40 and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Did she just make a scene? Did she just interrupt Jesus? Sometimes that stuff will push us to do things that we won't normally do. Okay? But Jesus did not ignore her inquiry. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about trouble about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which is not taken, you cannot take away from her." Now, at this moment, I'm not going to traditionally use this passage to contrast actions of Mary and Martha. And I'm not going to compare them. I want to focus on the answer and question that Martha had. It says, "Lord, do you not care? I got stuff. Do you not care?" You see, for me, the latter part of the question that's not even important. Because that her sister had left her to serve alone, that's just some of Martha's stuff that she got to deal with. You think that she didn't speak to her sister and let her know? Could you get up and help me? You see, that's just part of Martha's stuff. Martha could have said, "Lord, do you care that I'm drowning in all my stuff?" You see, stuff I'm defining as matters of concerns, cares that occupy us. Our stuff has a tendency to occupy us. I use the word because our stuff takes a residency. It makes its home in our life. Yet this stuff occupies us and sometimes dictates what we do and what we don't do, or even what prevents us from doing. It's our internal stuff. Thoughts and ideas floating around our head. How we feel or think about ourselves. How we think or feel or others think about us. This stuff makes demands, our pressures, our commitments, our responsibility. Demands we may be failing to navigate or control. Promptings and temptations which we are trying to regulate. Trying our best to stay true to our word and live right. What about Mary? I submit to you today that Mary had stuff also. Yeah, she was able to get at his feet. Maybe she got to the right place. But maybe she got to the right place because she couldn't function. And she needed help. And she realized early that I have to go get my help and stop just being busy. When we react to people, our friends, our family, let us remember that they have stuff too. Let us remember. I'm going to talk about some of my stuff, another stuff. My wife and I, and it's, I guess it's both our stuff. We have a parking space that seems to be everybody's parking space. We come home from hard day's work, and somebody got their car in our space. As much as we love to be Christian-like, we start to beat the horns. Beat the horns. Wake up the whole neighborhood. So this last weekend, I took my wife because she was ministering somewhere. And I come back. I had a whole plan of what I was going to do that day. I come back, pull up, and somebody's in my parking space. Now, let me tell you something. That didn't make me feel good. At the first couple of minutes, I said, okay, we're probably okay. They'll just come right down. Then I noticed it was a taxi. And then, after half an hour passed, guess what? I began to get a little angry. I get more angry. My stuff is it got me really messed up. And before you know, I'm beeping the horn. Feeling justified by beeping that horn, even though it's before 10 o'clock in the morning, everybody in the neighborhood is hearing my horn. But that's a normal practice where I live. But I pay almost $100 for that spot. You ain't supposed to be in my spot. Come on now. You know, lady comes out, she tells me, park your car right behind me. Park your car right behind me. I said, what's she telling me to do that for? So I do that, I park the car right behind me. Oh, you know, I'm out there, and I'm just getting really teed off. And I just leave for a moment. I drive around because I needed to, you know, just get away for a moment. I come back, still there. Then all of a sudden, I'm looking at his license plate, and I get his TLC number. I'm looking on the internet trying to figure out, how can I figure out who this person is? Maybe I can get their telephone number. Get to a website that says you can identify them. If you pay $3.95, we'll give you his number. Now, I'm not about to do that. Okay? So just to let you know that. But you still have to sign an affidavit that you have a valid reason why you want to get somebody's confidential number. Okay? So I'm sitting there. Person's still not coming. It's supposed to be close to an hour. I'm out there. They haven't even eaten yet. I'm getting really upset now. See, I got stuff. You ask my wife, I got stuff. So what happens is that he finally comes out, and you know that I'm at the height already. I pull down my window, I'm letting him know. Don't you know that I have paid over $100? I have this stuff. I almost couldn't give him a word in. Then he's saying to me, now listen, he's saying to me, he said, brother, I'm so sorry. I don't know about this place. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I just came here just to visit my friend who got shot and he's recovering, and I didn't really know about this place. You know, I felt like 2 cents. Because I could have kept my stuff together and just been able just to maybe get another friend, you know? And of course, you know that I didn't make friends with him that day. Please forgive me. I said, oh my God. Ephesians 4:37 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. forgiving one another, even as God Christ's sake forgave you. People got their stuff, but just be tenderhearted. Sometimes you don't understand why they act up the way they're acting up. Or they're not here at the time you expect them to be here. Or they're late, or whatever the issue may be. Other people got stuff, just like you got stuff. But be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving them. I know as much as I have said the word stuff in this message, it has caused you to think about your stuff. And I will not begin to list examples because I am privileged to know a lot about people's stuff here. And it is not for me to expose what many of you should have given in private or it was revealed to my trust. But Martha said, but does Jesus care? Do you care? Did Jesus care when I was growing up as a fatherless child? Looking for at least one good role model and not finding even one in the church? Did he care? Psalm 68 and 5 says, a father of the fatherless is God in his holy habitation. Psalms 146 and 9, the Lord watches over the stranger. He relieves the fatherless. I began to look at the scriptures and found some remedies for my stuff. God didn't bring my dad back, and I did not ask him because I was too young to remember who he was. But he answered my prayer, and I became a father to not one, but two boys, and they're over 30 years old right now. And the only way to understand how to be a father to them was to give them what my heavenly Father has been giving me over the years. But does Jesus care? The songwriter Frank Graff said this, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press, the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades in deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. It is aught to him, does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Did Martha do wrong by taking her stuff to Jesus? No, in fact, it is the beginning. Take your stuff to Jesus. Then sit down like Mary to listen and let him show you the way. The Lord has a word for you when you come. If you turn your back to John 16 and 29, let me show you the word. He says, his disciples said to him, see now, you are speaking plainly, using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. You see, in the previous verses in this chapter, Jesus made it quite clear what their lives would be like if they followed him. He especially warned them because they were going to receive oppression after he was departed because of his crucifixion. He told them, you will have stuff. And you will have to deal with it. We all have stuff. And verse 31 says, Jesus said, but do you now believe? Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, and you will be scattered, each of you on his own, and you will leave me alone. But he says, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus wants us to know that even in our stuff, we are not alone because the Father is with us. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace even with your stuff. That you would have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Look what he says. In the world you have tribulation, but then he says, but be of good cheer. Can anybody tell you to be of good cheer in the midst of your stuff? He says to be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Maybe you out there and you can't understand how to be of good cheer knowing Jesus has overcome the world. It's simply because you may not know. You recognize you have stuff. And I'm defining stuff as matters, concerns, cares, occupy us. Our stuff has a tendency to occupy us. I use the word stuff because it takes up residency and makes its home in our life. Yet this stuff occupies us and sometimes dictates what we do, what we don't do, or even prevent us from doing. Internal stuff, thoughts and ideas floating around in our head, how we feel or think about ourselves, how we think or feel or think about other people think about us. Our external stuff, outside pressures, commitments, responsibilities, this stuff makes demands. Demands we may be failing to navigate or control. Promptings and temptations which we are trying to regulate. We're trying the best to stay true to our word and live right. You want to be able to say like Jesus, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. If you are watching today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to come to know him. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's real simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, and you confess him as Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You're accepting his forgiveness. You can do this by saying a simple prayer and pray it out loud where you are at. Repeat these words with me. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for me. And right now I call him my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness. I'm walking in a new life with him. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, please contact us. We want to send you some materials, get your life started, right? So you can have this Jesus that we have that brings us peace so we can navigate our stuff. Hallelujah. Pastor will be back next week. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm done. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.